have up to almost 100 men here. That's something to thank God for. It's a record. I'm not talking of women, men. When you have almost 100 men gathered for retreat in America, it's a miracle. Praise the Lord. The Lord is doing great things among us. And by the grace of God, by this time next year, we'll have another new church that will join us. Even the pastor here saying amen. I won't show you the pastor yet. But he's among us saying amen. His amen is the highest amen. If we say amen, the highest one is the person. The one that puts his hand on the plate with me is the same person. I won't show you. Did I show you anything? I didn't show you anything. But by this time next year, we're going to have another church by the grace of God. That will be added to our church family. God is increasing us. Actually, two of them. But one is going to be outside, one is going to be inside. I'll tell you further as we go on. To God be the glory. All right, our topic, like Pastor Authority said, I'm waiting for you to stop that conversation. It's bothering me. When you are ready, let me. So, like our Pastor Authority said, the scripture says that when the word of God is being preached, and I want you to listen to me, it's real. He said, if you don't understand it, that the best of the air will come and pick what has been sown. What he said is true. The devil is interested in picking the word out of you, because if he picks it out of you, there is no seed that will produce the what? The fruit. You go empty. You can be in a meeting and leave empty. The only thing you take home is the word that God has sown in you, which needs to be watered. When you hear something the first time, that's the first sowing. Listen to me. When you hear it again, it's being watered. That's why Christians don't bear fruit a lot, because they say, I've had it before. I've had it. No. It's being what? Watered. And you need the seed watered. The Bible says, put them in remembrance of these things. If you do, you shall be a good minister. A good minister doesn't preach new things all the time. He brings back the old thing and waters it down so that the thing is rooted and grounded before it bears fruit. We're always in a hurry. I want new anointing. That the old one he gave you, if you water it and it bears fruit, your life will not be the same again. So it's important that we open our ears and let the word go in. And if you've had some things before, to God be the glory. The Lord is watering it in your life, and it will bear a lot of fruits for you. Amen? So our team now we can start tapping. Our team now is unto greater glory, going up higher. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. But today we're looking at a call to spiritual growth. What did I say? A call to spiritual growth. In Hebrews chapter 5, from verse 11, to chapter 6, 1 to 3. It says, there is much more we would like to say. I'm reading New Living Translation. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now, that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. They've been Christian for so long, but they're still babies. Verse 13. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Now, let me pause here and make a comment. You know, when you hear Christians say, don't you preach about sin, that shows me you're a spiritual baby. Anywhere you come and the focus is sin, both the preacher and those people are babies. It is children you follow around because they will put their hands in something wrong. It's babies. You don't follow an adult around. When you come among spiritual adults, they know what is right. And they know what is what. You don't follow them around. Spiritual, any church, if I enter a church, I hear what they're preaching, I decide whether to stay or leave them. He says, you are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For Someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know what to do what is right. I have my angel, my little girl, that's the last born of my grandchildren. You have to be with her all the time. Because she doesn't know right from yeah. So spiritually, if you're a baby, they teach you law all the time. Because you don't know, you can poison yourself. So you will teach me about sin. Because you're a baby, the father is grown. You don't follow Kenichukwu around. He knows what is what, right? And he knows what is what. Yeah. Those are basic things for babies. So they don't preach about sin. No. We have grown. We are matured. We are led by the Holy Spirit. We heard his voice. Continue verse 13. 14. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. They are matured. They make choices based on information. They are informed. They know God. Chapter 6, verse 1. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let's go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds. He said this is the basic class 1 thing babies do. It's right there. It's not there. It's not there. I thought it was there all the time. What happened here? Oh, you're working on it. Okay. Are you following what I'm saying? So let's go on instead and become mature in understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. He said, you're teaching people to repent from sin. They are babies. He said, that's fundamental. You don't need further instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward now to further understanding. May the Lord move us forward. Now, Paul was writing to the church, and you should understand that that should be the case, though, because the church just started. The church just started. Jesus Christ died, and the church just started. So he was concerned about the spiritual growth of the church. And he realized that the church was full of babies. He wrote to the Corinthians, he said, you're carnal, you're babies. He said, I can't feed you what? Solid food. He said, you're babies. And he used the same word, you take milk. He said, I can only give you milk. He wrote to the Ephesians. Apparently, he didn't believe Ephesians were grown. He was telling them the need to grow. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. He was telling them that God gave us pastors and they said, we're going to grow. He was urging them to grow. And now he's writing to Hebrews. He's talking about the same thing. He said, you people are babies. You should grow. So apparently he was so worried because the church had a lot of babies. And you could understand where he was writing about his son, Timothy. He said, there is none like Timothy who cares about the things of who? God. None. In the whole church, none. They were focused on mundane things. And it's even more serious today when we talk of spiritual growth. It's so important that we come and remind every Christian the necessity to grow. We're not just talking about retreat. We're talking about what is at the heart of God. If the Holy Spirit will repeat this thing so many places, then it is that center of the heart of God. And there are a lot of good reasons for that. Many of us are parents. This is my son here. If I had him and he hasn't grown, if he's still like this, crawling, I'll be disturbed. I had to go and see a family friend. They had a triplet. And after 3 years, one of them is still crawling, can't talk, and hit his head against, and they were devastated. And they wanted me to come. They said, Dad, you need to come. And these are Christians. Because their baby has not grown. And the thing has brought a lot of stress on the family. He's been cared for like a newborn babe after 3 years. The father's schedule is totally messed up. The mother told me, said in the middle of the night that we hear him hitting, he said, on the bed, this thing. And he said, hey, Mom, he said, Daddy, how do I feel? And I went there and he was crawling. And God is looking at his children, stay crawling spiritually. Stay crawling spiritually. And it's not because you can be a Christian for many years and still be crawling. Paul said you've been Christians for so long and you're still babies. So spiritual growth is very important because God wants us to grow like every parent wants. God says, I'm a good father too. So I'm a good father too. So God wants us to grow. Every parent will want his children to grow. Can I hear amen? Amen. And God is looking for grown-up people that will carry on family business. That will carry on family business. 2 Timothy 2:2. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach this truth to other trustworthy people, mature people, reliable people. Now, teach this truth to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. You know why the church in Europe closed? You know why the church in America is closing? In their hundreds. Is because of babyhood. No adults to take over. And many giant churches that were built with a lot of money, you check them out. They were stone building. Those people invested money at the time. It was not just ordinary stone, quality stone they used to build those churches that are totally now abandoned. No adults. There are babies. So you go to Europe, the government have taken over a lot of the churches as what they call tourist attraction. St. Paul Cathedral, London, is mainly a tourist, that's what really is. And then to wait king, the queens and the kings. That's all it does. You come here, every denomination I know is shutting down churches. That was why some time ago they sent people to us to come and find out why the church was growing when many churches around were shutting. And those people came with television and stayed with us 2 days, asking me what I'm doing. I said, you ask the builder, don't ask me. If I'm the builder, everything will be in a mess. But I know the one that built his church. Praise the Lord. And God is not happy that churches are shutting down. If it's you, will you be happy? Go to our country, see what is happening. Churches are fighting themselves. People are in court over this. I don't know any major denomination that is not in court. Until their leader dies, court starts. Because the church is full of babies. Full of babies. God's heart is broken. Acts 6:3. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. People who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And God is asking a question. Proverbs 26. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. But a faithful man who can find. I'm looking for a stable man, a matured man. Everybody's saying, I know what I'm doing. But God said, I have scarcity of faithful people. I'm looking for a faithful man who can find him. First Timothy 3:6. An elder must not be a new believer because he might be proud and the devil will cause him to fall. See, if we give positions to people who are babies, the Bible says the devil will make them, they become what? Proud. I said at the Bible study yesterday that the devil is busy trying to figure out how to drag a Christian into a reproach. He's always trying to figure out how to make you enter a reproach. Because once you get into a reproach, he shuts down your testimony immediately. He knocks you out of commission. You are not very useful to Jesus again. You don't have to steal. Can you imagine you are talking, people you are talking to, half of them are saying, who is saying that? You are done. You are out. You are out. The only person who doesn't know it is you. But you are out. Your testimony is touching nobody. He's always looking for a way to put, read your Bible now, Paul told Timothy. So he said, this guy is always looking. Did I call him a guy? No, that devil. He's always looking for a way to make us get into reproach. He can make you lose your temper here. You are finished. He can make you be telling lies all over the place. And you wouldn't know that it's the devil until one day somebody say, who said that? They say it's brother so-so. No, that's the way he talks. Forget about it. Your testimony is over. And he says you can't give leadership to a baby Christian, that the devil will make him become proud. He will fall into reproach. The pastor can't give him instruction. Nobody can teach him anything. One pastor told me, he said, Pastor, you can't believe that one of my leaders came to me. He said, I've been here for a long time. I'm supposed to be a pastor now. You are laughing. This is the thinking of a lot of people. There are three stages of spiritual growth. Number one is the babyhood. 1 Peter 2:2. Everybody that is born into the kingdom of God is born a baby. Nobody is born matured. All of us. All of us are born what? Babies. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of what? The word, that you may grow thereby. So every Christian is born a baby in the family of God. And let me pause here to make a comment. To all of us that are Christians and pastors, please listen to me. The worst thing we can do is call people to give their life to Christ and we abandon them. I was telling Daddy, I said, Daddy, the ministry you carry out, God will bless you. He calls these people. He diligently calls them, prays with them. I said, do you know that the Lord will shame me something? He said, you had four children, yeah? Supposing you had one in the maternity and you abandon your baby and go home. He said, these babies are born in churches, are newborn. They know nothing. I expect the church to nurse them. He said, they abandon them. And they die. The most important ministry that every Christian holds is if anybody is ever saved in your church, make sure the person is followed up. Otherwise, the person will die off. An abandoned baby is a criminal. Americans will say, what do they call it here? Huh? Child neglect. You work in the court. Is it a crime? Okay. Even human beings find it a crime. When you get people saved, don't just leave them. Because there's another person interested in them. It's the devil. He wants to steal them back. So we as Christians must know the importance of following up people until they are established. Because if we don't do it, my question is, who else will do it? Praise the Lord. So everybody is born a baby. And you know, spiritual babies, they are the same thing like natural babies. Not different. Because they take the same thing, milk. So they are very, very dependent. They are extremely dependent. They don't know their right from their what? Their left. I remember when I was saved, I couldn't pray for myself. You know my prayer. God, reveal my problem to my pastor so my pastor will pray for me. I was a baby. I didn't know anything. I didn't know that God would answer my prayer. So spiritual babies are very dependent. They're always going around looking for who will pray for them, who will do this for them. Nothing. They don't know their privileges. They don't know what God has done for them. They're just totally dependent on people. They're very, very vulnerable. And let me tell you another thing spiritual babies do. Do you know babies? They put their hands on everything. And where does it go? In their mouth. Spiritual babies do the same thing. Any doctrine that comes to town, they take and put in their mouth. Because they don't know the difference. They call Jesus here. Yeah, he's there. They call Jesus here. He's there. He doesn't know yet right and what? Wrong. So he eats from everywhere. I remember this place I went to. And then all of a sudden, this small boy was picking needle to put in his mouth. And I said to their mother, stop, stop, stop. And they stopped it. I remember when we had our children. I think it was there, Onyinyo or so. I know Onyinyo or Nyeka. One of them went and was looking at the eye, wanting to make sure what this thing was. So he took a sharp something, wanting to poke the eye of his brother. Just to know, he was so curious. What is this thing that I'm seeing? And the mother was there and grabbed him. Spiritual babies are curious. Anywhere they hear noise, they go. Very unstable. Why? They know let nothing. Nene Chukwu says, it's not me. Say because they know they don't know much yet. Praise the Lord. So that's why I say desire the sincere milk so that you will grow thereby. There is the childhood stage. Ephesians 4:14. Childhood stage of Christianity. The baby stage, the childhood stage of Christianity. Then we will no longer be immature like children. He said, childhood stage of Christianity are immature Christians. They're not matured. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. A Christian who is in childhood stage is very unstable. Very, very what? Unstable. If you give him an assignment now, you can't rely on it. Anything happens to him, he says, I'm not coming to church again. Very easily, just like that. Because he doesn't know the value of what he's doing. Extremely unstable. You know, I remember when we were children. We used to have follow children's masquerade. We buy the face in the market for 6 pence. And we use rubber to tie it. So our masquerade, we cover the masquerade. And we go from house to house during Christmas looking for money. Then our masquerade will come out. And we see another masquerade. Our masquerade will join. Start watching the other masquerade. I've got to tell her, you are a masquerade too. What are you doing? watching another one. You know, that's what children do. That's what spiritual children do. Very, very unstable. If they don't know anything. They are not stable. They can't stand and say, no, I don't want that one. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at the mature Christian. Ephesians 4:11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 15. Then instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, this place is telling us when we come under the ministry of pastors and the people God has placed over us, and we grow to maturity, we will no longer be people who are pushed to and what? Fro. Stability comes because you know right from wrong. I mean, an adult. You don't tell him. He knows how to go home. He knows if somebody is calling him, he knows, no, I'm not following this person. An adult knows. You don't tell him. He's very stable. That's the spiritual Christian. He is very, very stable because of the knowledge he has. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, message put it like this. He said, no prolonged infancies. Small children are imposters. God wants us to grow up to know the hope and tell it in love. Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. You see, the mature Christian breathes the love of God. He talks in love. He says, we speak the truth in what? In love. He's not an emotional wreck. His emotions don't control him. He thinks before he lives. He speaks the truth in love, no matter how you try him. My senior pastor, Reverend Dore Wemi, an incredible man of God, very mature. Somebody told me something about him. And this person was close to him, lived with him. He said, he came to me, he said, Pastor, I've changed. I said, really? I said, what happened? Because I used to see this person insult Pastor before me. He saw this man before. He said, I've changed. I said, really? I said, what happened? He said, every time I insult him, instead of being angry, he would be blessing me. And moreover, I'm talking, he doesn't. So I look like a mad person. So the only thing left for me was to stop. Because there was nobody to quarrel with. And he said, anytime we pray together, after I've insulted him, he will be telling God to bless me and be praying all this. And the more he's praying, the more I feel bad for myself. Mature people, you can't rattle them easily. They are rooted and grounded. Praise the Lord. Paul said, none of these things, what? I don't care about all this. Did you hear what they said about me? No, not if you are mature. If you are mature, those things don't count. You have more glorious things to think about. They didn't count me to sing in the choir. Praise the Lord. All things are work together for good. For those who what? Of the Lord. But you know, I should have been an usher here. You are immature. You go to church to worship Jesus, not to be an usher. You still go there and dance more than because when it's your turn, nobody taking this honor. The Lord will lift you at the appointed time. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They speak in love. They exude the character of Christ, which is love. I used to be so immature. I will tell you this story, but you won't tell anybody. I used to be so immature. And even as a pastor, very immature. Everything they said, I must counter it. And I must argue it. And if you like, we go to scripture and argue it out. I must win. One day my wife said to me, she said, do you know it's better to win a soul than to win an argument? She said, what is your argument? Is? I said to her, the reason you are saying this, you don't know the situation. If you understand, well, you know, she understood more than me. Because she's more stable. And then I go for a meeting. I'll correct them. No. We have not prayed. We need to pray. We are pastors. This pastor's meeting. We must pray. We haven't read the Bible. We must read the Bible. I found fault all the time. In fact, the Pharisees will be jealous of me. I'm telling you. I find fault. And one day, the Lord opened my eyes. Brethren, may the Lord open our eyes. I cried like a baby. I wept so. I said, is this what I've been doing? oh my God, this is so terrible. God opened my eyes. And God said to me, you need to grow up. He said, all these people, you correct him. You come here. They will say, Pastor Chinedu, how are you? How is your wife? We are praying for you. We are praying for your church. He asked me, he said, how many times have you prayed? And you are correcting them. He said, did you, when they talk, do you hear how they talk? They speak in love. That's how my church people talk. They talk with humility. They know the value of humility. They know that Jesus is Lord and not their, they're not the Lord. They've surrendered it to him. Actually, no more fight. You've entered the rest of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. When people deal with you, they will go home thinking. They think. I'm telling you, when people relate with you, they will go home and think. You don't have to preach much. There is something in you they will notice. That's a mature Christian. If he's in church, his presence brings something. You find people flocking around him. Flocking around him. Because his life draws people. Draws people. He's a servant. A willing servant. What did I say? He washes the feet of everybody. And he takes correction very easily. Because he's dead. This person is completely dead. Oh, praise the Lord. So let's see some qualities of a mature Christian. He understands values, number one. Are you following me here? He understands values. A mature Christian understands the value of spiritual things over natural things. He understands the value of the Word of God. And like God places his word above his name, the mature Christian will do the same. Look at Moses, for instance. Hebrews 11:24. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See the choices he's making now. He has understood values. But it happened when he grew up. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. See what I'm telling you? When you go to church, preach sin, you are a baby. When you mature, you make a choice. You make a choice. You don't need a pastor to follow you around and be pushing you. No. Your understanding helps you place values properly. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Place value properly. When you come into your house, everybody in the house knows that you're a man of great value. You know what I'm doing. He said this man made a choice because he grew up. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting of pleasure of sin. It was a choice. It was a value system that has come to understand that this one is useless and this one is more useful. Verse 26. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. This is value. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. See value? Not what I get here now. Not the title they give me here now. It's not the things of here and now. The man is looking for something greater than anything in this world. He understands spiritual realities. He's walking by faith, not by sight. He's looking at something nobody, people don't see. He's a mature person. The Bible says when he matured, he made that choice. 27. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. People who are mature don't walk in fear. They walk in faith. That's why Paul said, none of these things what? Move me. Job stood up and said, listen, even if he kills me, I will yet praise him. The Then Paul talks about his own growth of maturity. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:11. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. 12. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having spectacular ministry. You know, people brag, my ministry is big. He said, those who brag in having spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. Verse 13. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. That's a matured man. Controlled by the love of God, not controlled by emotions. Verse. What verse? Oh, okay, the thing is here now. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old self. Continue, please. Continue. He didn't know what was happening. They didn't know. I left. They still didn't know. Praise the Lord. Why do we seek honor from men? The Bible says, vain is the help of men. It's a waste of time. But God is my helper. What can man do to me? That's the most important thing. If God wants to lift you up, nobody can stop you. If God, in one split second, God took Joseph from the prison and made him Pharaoh. One split, it didn't take 2 days. That's the awesome God we serve. In one split second, he changed a man's situation from a prisoner and a slave to a Pharaoh ruling the whole of Egypt. Only God can do stuff like that. In one split second, he took Moses from hiding and made him a son of the king who was wanting to kill him and say, you pay the mother for harassing her. That's God. Whose honor will you want? The honor that comes from God. And Jesus said, it's the honor that comes from the Father only that I seek. And he said, you can't believe the word of God because you are busy seeking honor one from the other. Praise the Lord. Then a mature Christian. Am I communicating at all? Yes, sir. A mature Christian has the ability to recognize God at work. He has the ability to recognize what? God at work. When people don't see God at work, he sees God at work. Oh, my life is going down. Mature Christian knows, no. God is working. He doesn't walk by sight. He doesn't evaluate God by what he sees. No. He's gone beyond that. He evaluates God by the revelation God gives him. Genesis 45:7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me here, but who? God! Let's talk a little bit about this. I mean, this young man, God showed him a dream. I said, this is it. This is the dream. And remember that Joseph was a dream interpreter. So he must have had the interpretation of that dream and didn't tell anybody. So he trusted what God told him. And things went from bad to badder. And let me take the permission of union people, union church people. Bad to badder and baddest. Instead of getting better, brethren, his own brothers sold him. And then they said, we're not going to kill him. Let's sell him. They sold him. He became a slave. And he went serving faithfully. The wife of the man came to sleep with him. He told the woman, he said, you know, he knew God brought him there. He said, woman, how can I do this against God? You don't have an idea what God is doing. This thing you are offering me is nothing compared to where he's taking me. I'm not taking this. That's mature Christian. He knows values. So here he is. Here he sees God at work. And then about this time, Now, let's take a poll. About this time, how many of us will start grumbling? Yeah, I've been here, God, for many years. Nothing is working. Nobody knows that trouble I'm in. Nobody knows my soul. And then, as if that is not enough, they put him in prison for what he didn't do. And not ordinary prison. Read your Bible. It's the high security prison of the time. They put him in stock where he didn't have movement. In the innermost stock, dark, where they put most dangerous criminals. That's where they put him. While he was there, he knew this is the finger of God. Ah, somebody shout hallelujah. It takes maturity to understand how God was, because God says, my ways are not your ways. When God said to Paul, you are going to stand before kings and preach this gospel, he didn't go with limousine. He didn't go with what? He went with persecution. All the places God, and God says, let me show you what they're going to suffer. It's going to happen like that. The means God brought him before kings was persecution, accusation. But God said, you are going there. And when Paul finished, he said, I have fought the good fight, man. He said, crown is waiting for me. That's what I served him for. The route to glory sometimes passes through pain. Brethren. That's why the scripture says, if you suffer with him, you reign with him. It passes through pain. Pain. Things won't look like rosy. Look bad, and you are calculating. Stop that calculation. He has already calculated for you. You will see. You look around. You will see anything. And then finally, when the brothers of Joseph came, he began to tell them, in the midst of that, I knew who was walking. It takes maturity to know things like that. If Joseph was your brother and you wrote him a letter, what would you write when he was in jail? Either you accuse him of what he did, or you say, my brother, this thing is too much. And then some people will leave church and say, I'm not with you. Let's finish it. Genesis 45, 7. And God sent me before you. What? God sent me. Really? Before you, to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. 8. So now, it was not you that sent me hither. So it's not all this your planning that brought me here. But God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Say, go and bring my father here. And the father was busy saying, all these things are working against me. I lost this one. I lost this one. We see them counting what we lost. Praise the Lord. See, that's why we should mature. So we can walk with God. I told you, the grace of God and the love of God brings you into a privilege of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That fellowship with the Holy Spirit is key to success. If you walk with the Holy Spirit in fellowship, you walk with him in fellowship, he will show you great and mighty things you don't know. When others are saying, whoa, this is terrible, you tell you, don't worry about it. This is good. See, the house I bought, it was a missionary that kept it. He said, God told me he's giving you a house. I said, Sam, I don't like such prophecies. He said, don't give me that kind of thing. He said, I'm telling you what God, if I showed me the house, I said, I don't have pain, you're talking about buying a house. And somehow, God provided me, for the first time, I saw a check of 20,000 for the first time. I've never seen a check of 20,000 in all my life. I saw it. It was 20,000. No, I mean dollar, naira, I don't have to see. When I was a pharmacist worker, I used to see half a million, not that. I'm talking of dollar. And somebody gave me $10,000. He said, go buy a house. Well, I paid tight and started using it to buy food anyway. So it went down. It went down. I was going my own. Another person came and gave me 20,000. And I called my children. I said, are you people talking to anybody? They said, no. I said, okay, now we have down payment. So I applied to Quicken Loan. They gave me loan and they cut my throat. I didn't know anything.
Listen, really. I bought that house. That missionary came by and said, yeah, this is the house. And the Lord said to me, it's a seed for you. When I bought it, I want you to listen. It's important that you know, you mature so that you know, recognize God at work. Or that you can reject what God is doing and accept what Satan is doing. When I bought it, the house in front, I didn't know it was an industry. What do they call it? Industry. Where they produced a company. They produced batteries there. I didn't know the ground was polluted. I had no idea. I had bought and moved in. Somebody came and said, why did you buy a house here? That they make battery. And that ground is polluted. I said, I don't know. What I know is that God gave it to me. Battery or not, he saw the battery and still gave it to me. And let me tell you, the Lord told me it's a seed. And I lived there. The value of that house went down. About the 310,000 went down to 185. Talk to me. God, why did you bring me? But you know, I never lost the sleep. Didn't think about it, don't bother me. Right now, if you go there, if you go there, opposite my house, they are building 100 and something executive flats. Building parking deck, 6-story parking deck. When they finish it, what happens to our property? Poo! A policeman came and said, don't sell this house. Don't sell it yet. He said, they'll come to buy you out. He said, that one, that time, make your money. Talk to me about God. When I bought it, it looked like what? But God warned us, my ways are not your way. So anytime you see me breaking people's glasses, it's because I've sold my house. I sold it, and I'm looking for who to give money. I'm looking for trouble. Any day you see me on the street with stone, throwing at passing vehicles, don't ask any question. It is because he has what? Sold our house. He has become trouble komoko. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Adversity is not always adversity. That things are not working well does not mean that's the end of the matter. That's why God says, in all things, give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God. You should be able to discern the hand of God, even in adversity. You should be able to know, see what God is doing. Those that know their God, they are strong. And for us today, our own Joseph is Jesus Christ. Can I hear amen? Amen. Our own Joseph is Jesus. Our own David is Jesus. God has sent him to bless us. Have we recognized the finger of God in Christ? That thing on the cross, have you recognized the mighty work God did for you? The mature Christian recognizes. Paul said, we have come to realize that, wow, we don't look at any man ordinarily again. We found that if any man is in Christ, he's what? Do you have value? Being a new creature, does it make, what value does it add to you? What relevance is it to you on your daily living? What relevance is that work of the cross? Have you recognized the mighty work of God on the cross for you? What relevance is it to you that you're a new creature? What relevance is it to you that by the power of God, he redeemed you from the power of Satan? That he set you free from the sin? All that mighty work of God on the cross, does it, what relevance is it to you on your day-to-day living? Have you recognized them? The Bible said that mature Christians are those who are strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are rooted and grounded. I want us to read again what Ephesians 6 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, let me tell you some personal benefits of being matured. Do you still want some more? somehow I can give you. This won't take too long. Are you benefiting at all?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Some personal benefits. Galatians 4 from verse 1. Let me show you some personal benefits of growing spiritually. Galatians 4 from verse 1. Think of it this way. I'm living translation. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves. I want to read it again. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had. Again, when my children were young, they were small. You know, they used to sleep with us in the same bed. They were very small. So we had a very big bed. So they used to, until my wife's brother came one day and said, why are they still sleeping with your people? He said, take them to a room. Let them go and find their room. Why should they be sleeping with people? And we said, yeah, that's true. So we took them all to their room. And it rained in the night. Then thunder came. Immediately the thunder came. What we had was, everyone will rush, bam, and they will die. They dived on top of me, dived on top of their mother, and we are moving and making space for them. Immediately they dived, they started snoring. Don't mind these big 6 feet something. That's what they did. They were babies. The Bible says, as long as you are a baby, even though the inheritance belongs to you, you are not different from a slave. You cannot walk in the inheritance of God as a baby. Oge Chukwu is my granddaughter, my little angel. Oge, everything that is in the house is her own too. If Oge walks into my house, he has a lot of uncles. Everything is for her. But you know Oge cannot take them because he doesn't know. One time we were doing Life Center and we had a refreshment after that. And my little girl went, a lady that she was, she wanted to pack everything well. So she will move all this plate prone to the floor. Move everything to the floor and go the other side and move everything. I said, that's a lady. She's trying to beautify the house. Everything was scattered on the floor. You know what was really, a banana was on the floor. Everything was. So we're fighting with her to bring this back. It belongs to her. But because she's a child, she couldn't take it. Spiritual babies do not know how to take their inheritance. It will put you in a great disadvantage. Even when you are sick, you don't know how to take healing. He says, let's read it again. Let's go back again. Galatians 4 again. First one. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves. Until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had. So you're not different from a slave. You own all these blessings in Christ. You've been redeemed. The word redeemed is just what you say. Doesn't make any sense to you. You'll be set free from past or sin. You still want people to talk about sin. It doesn't make any sense to you. You are free. If the Son shall set you free, you are free. It doesn't make sense to you. God has given you abundance of grace so you reign. It doesn't make sense. Because you're a baby. Even though all these things are yours, the inheritance, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are yours, doesn't make sense. You still live like a slave. It's a tragedy. I was saying in Union Church, I said, the Lord make it a table before us in the presence of what? We leave the table and we are pursuing enemies. I've not seen such crazy stuff. God said, come and eat. This table is for you. No. All night you are fighting the enemy. The devil that did this, I fight you. Fight you. In Jesus' name, fight you outside. The table is there. You are not eating. And after fighting them, tomorrow they will come back and harass you. You leave the table. You start again fighting them. The table is there. you are not eating. You will be famished. You will do without. You will be hungry. He's like, God is not there, but I have furnished this table in the presence of what? Eat it. Forget the enemies alone. For no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They're wasting their time. Eat the thing. I've dealt with them. The defeat of Christ over Satan doesn't mean anything to you. That the power of sin has been destroyed in your life doesn't mean anything to you on your daily life. If you don't grow up, these things are yours. But you live like a slave. You'll be bound. Because unless you know the truth, you shall not be set free. Freedom comes by continuing in the word and knowing the truth. And then the truth will what? If you don't, you'll be struggling with it. People may not know your struggles. You hide it so well. But anyway, I tell people, I say, when you say you are free, make sure you are free indeed. If you are not free, come out and say it so people can help you. It was, I think, either him or somebody. Let me tell you. One time, he came to me. I think it was when he said, Daddy, the way you talk to my mother, I would talk to my wife like that. Real story. The thing cured me. I cried like a baby. And I went to my wife. I said, this is what this boy said. He said, yeah, it's true. He said, when you talk, it pierces me. I said, it doesn't sound to me like that. Babyhood is dangerous. You won't even see. You are so, pride will blind you. You won't see anything. But because I cried and went to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sorry about this. I need my mouth to be healed. I realized that I've been bitter for years without knowing it. And if that thing was not dealt with, maybe the enemy would have used it to take my life. Do you know that ignorance is the gateway for Satan to enter your life? It's the gateway. That's why faith is a shield. It will stop him. And faith comes by hearing. Yeah. But where there's ignorance, there is no faith. It's the gateway. There's no shield. It will come in. The blessings are yours. He says, but if you don't mature, you'll be like a slave. You'll be bound by so many things. But, and then you start religious this, religious that, midnight prayer, 2 a.m. prayer, 4 a.m. prayer. What is the 4 a.m. prayer? The son has set you free. What do you want to go and be fighting for freedom again? It's because you are a baby. You don't know the things that belong to you. You are living like a slave, stressing yourself out. Look at finally. Proverbs chapter 28:20. No. Yeah. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. A trustworthy person will get. Okay, it's all right. A faithful man shall abound with what? Blessings. Because he's a matured person that is stable. And then you know. Do you know the Bible says, through faith and patience, we obtain what? Come on, we obtain what? We obtain the promise. How patient is a baby? Answer me. Are they patient? Come on, talk to me now. Until a baby matures, he's never patient. He doesn't know the value of patience. Now, a mature Christian has developed and become patient. And he can stand. That's what I was saying about knowing the finger of God. When things are going bad, his patience will stand. And because of his patience and his faith, he will enter the promise of God. But if he's immature, he can't. Because if he doesn't see the thing in 2 days, he says, this is not working. If he doesn't see it in 1 month, he says, no, it's not working. Then he starts another fasting and praying. Because he's immature. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I don't know if I helped you or not. Can we stand up?
You You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.